Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 359. We're back. We didn't have one last week because I was in Charlotte. Actually, yeah, on Wednesday I was in Charlotte. It's not like I was traveling to. I had to leave at 2 in the morning Wednesday to get there. That was not fun. And just with the weather, it was a case of, well, I could leave at 2 in the morning or I could leave at noon because I'm not driving through all that snow. So I timed it well. I had about 10 minutes of snow only because I stopped in Fairmont to get gas. And it started snowing while I was there. And then I made it below the freeze line or whatever they call it. So I was happy. Worked out well.
So you're racing the storm.
Pretty much. It worked out well. I got lucky because I understand it was kind of ugly up here. No, but normally when I make a decision like that, I make the wrong decision. So yeah. This time I chose wisely. So that made me happy. Unfortunately, the whole point of it was to go down to see Jermaine's store on a Wednesday. I wanted to get there like at lunchtime on Wednesday to see his store because he does normally double what we do here. I just wanted to see the hustle and bustle and everything. Well, sadly, they didn't get their books until Thursday. So we were kind of standing in the store and they didn't even have books to unpack. They had nothing. So that kind of stunk. And then it was kind of like, okay, well, we went out to lunch. Jermaine and I went out to lunch, and then we came back, and I'm kind of like, well, I think by the time I get there, it was a 90-minute drive. And I'm like, well, I think my room will be ready, so no offense, guys, but
all offense.
Have fun standing in a store with no books.
Did he go to the meeting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was there every day. They stayed. It was three of them. One guy had to stay back on Thursday to do the shipment. But, yeah, he was there all 3 days. They left Saturday night. They didn't stick around. I left Sunday morning. That was good. But I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Spencer.
Pat.
Okay. So...
No Dave.
Sadly, I only read one book from last week, but I have plenty to talk about. Comics Pro meeting was really good. This is my first meeting as a board member. And luckily, not my last meeting as a board member.
Last year you became a board member at the meeting.
Right, but it's not... Like, I was told Friday...
Hotel room.
Yeah, I was told Friday night, and then announced Saturday afternoon.
And then you were on the board.
I was told before that, and then we had a meeting up in the hotel room. We didn't do things.
Well,
so you had things done to you.
Yeah.
But this year I was reelected, so I was very, very happy about that. So I got 3 years now to try to do something, so...
Is that going to be enough time?
Yeah, to get some stuff started. Cause
a little bit of a pause there.
No. Because last year, because I wasn't elected, I was appointed, I never really felt I was in a position to say, hey, we have to do this, we have to do that. It was more a case of, okay, I just kind of went along. First thing we had to do was not fun, and then in the middle of everything, we had the Batman 50 thing.
Yeah, I hope there are none of those issues.
Yeah, so that was in June, so it was just kind of, it was a really rocky year. I think we got off to a really good start. I think the meeting went really, really well. When Brian Hibbs, who's generally a curmudgeon, is praising the meeting, I know we did good. He said it was the best one he's ever been to, and he was a board member for a while. I don't know how many years, but a good while.
So are you involved at all in like the planning of the...
Not so much the planning, but like just talking about it. Hey, would you like to have these guys come speak? Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea. Things like that. I didn't do any panels. I didn't do any presentations. It's not my thing. Two of the other board members, John Dudas, did one on social media because he's real big on Facebook. He's part of the big Facebook communities things. They fly him out to Facebook to talk to people. He's really big on that. And then Jen Haynes, who has three stores up in Canada, did like a presentation on merchandising and stuff like that. So, but that's not my thing. I don't do anything particularly well like that. But
so did you go then to pay attention?
Yes.
When you say... Yeah, she did this because I'm not particularly good at it.
No, not that I would say, well, my store's so great, and I do this way, okay. And this way, that kind of thing.
You have won an award, though.
I have won an award. You are correct. Award-winning store. Not the big award I want, but an award, so I'll take that.
Get the sympathy vote by having a car crash in your
Darn right, man. Hey, you use what you can. it was one thing was interesting. We they posed questions. Like there were four questions that we had to answer, and it was basically to give the members, you know, an idea of our opinions and our viewpoints and things like that, and to ask questions. And none of them, only one guy really did. I had his vote anyway, I think. They asked what we felt our role was on the board. And I answered I felt I was more the advisor, counselor type person.
Perfect opportunity to say, it's my duty to please that booty.
No.
And you didn't.
No. But, you know, just from the lawyer background, just I'm not the guy that's going to be standing out front banging on the table type of guy. I'm more the, you know, what if we do this? Well, we might not want to do that because there was a little bit of hoopla there. Well, not there, but there was an article posted and some discussions on the board about responding to it and things like that. So I don't know if I want to give it any publicity because it was a really stupid article. It was just, it was a really good meeting. Lots of good stuff just to pass along. DC was real nice. Dan Didio got up on the dais just by himself and just, I'm here to tell you what's going on, answer questions, and he did. Black Label is continuing. I've seen the first issues of the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo book and the Frank Miller, John Romita Jr. Superman book. So I've seen those. So that is continuing. Let's see, Walmart is going to be...
Did he address, like, people's concerns with the reason why people felt it may not be continuing?
He understood that, you know, no news was hurting them. So that's changing in a big way, which I'm really happy about. He was talking about some of the personnel moves was done mostly just in a restructuring, in a consolidating, getting rid of redundancies type of situation. Mm-hmm. One good thing that came out of that was that he got his own marketing department, where before it was just Warner Brothers marketing department or DC Entertainment's marketing department, and all the money went to promoting the movies and the TV shows. So they didn't have much focus on them. So now the comics are going to have their own marketing, and not so much marketing per se, but social media person. So that every DC post isn't, you know, go buy, you know, Mr. Miracle at Barnes & Noble. It'll be a little more, hopefully, a little more for us. So he was really very excited about that. All the people that I know are still there. Had good talks. Real good talk with Stuart. One funny thing was I probably had more hugs there than I've had all year, which was really good, just, you know, between, you know, guys, you know, just, hey, you know, just my friends, you know, and we're all friends. It's neat.
So as being a board member, do you get, like, more... like close interaction with like some of the bigger name people?
Hopefully we will. We had a conference call with DC during the year. Nothing really with anybody else, but I'm really hoping we amp that up this year.
I was like at the meeting, like you guys had any sort of like private meetings with...
Again, I was hoping we would. Would have been nice to have had a meeting, but we didn't have anything like that. So that's something I'm really going to push for this year, because I even said, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, have a phone conference with Marvel like 2 weeks before the meeting to express, here are the retailers' concerns, you know, these are things, these are the questions you're going to have.
Kind of target
to be ready.
What the message.
Yeah, yeah. But we didn't, and I don't know if nobody pushed for it or what it is, but I'm definitely going to do that. I mean, in all honesty, we only had one conference call, one board meeting all year long, and I'm like, we should, if not quarterly, monthly. You know, it shouldn't be that hard to get us all together on a, you know, some afternoon to on the phone. And even if it's not everybody, just a, hey, what's going on? Not a lot happened last year. Not a lot got done. So I definitely, I want to change that.
You would think in an election year, you guys would be pushing.
Again, I didn't know what was going on. But yeah, next year.
Were there any surprises with the election?
Yeah, actually, there was. Not so much a surprise. There were five of us going for three seats. Jen and I were both going for re-election, so it was like three people going for one seat, and Actually, Joe Murray, Captain Blueham, won that election. And he didn't really even want it. He just they asked him to run, and he's like, okay, I'll be a name, you know, so that you have enough people. But not that he won't do a great job or anything, but he had no expectation of winning. So, That was a big surprise.
So is it like just voted by all the other retailers?
Yes. All the members get to vote. I don't know how many vote.
That doesn't surprise me. It seems like he has a well-known presence.
Right, and that's why I didn't expect to get elected, because I didn't get elected the first time, and I don't know, that I had any more. You know, so that's I.
A lot of people vote for the incumbent by default.
Right, but I don't know if it said incumbent type of thing. So, and it'd only been a year, so I don't know that I was that big a name. But it worked out. But it was funny. He was talking about something like, "Well, I got to be somewhere at 9:15." He's like, "Yeah, so do I." I'm like, "Well done," because I didn't know if he had won or lost. They don't announce it till Saturday, so that was kind of cool.
Not even to the other board members?
To the other board members, they do.
Would you have been bummed out if you lost, but he won?
No. No, I was completely 100% convinced I wasn't winning.
He's full of crap.
I'm not. No, I am not at all. Because I realized there was
humble brag.
Because I'd forgotten to do something for the recording secretary and wrote record one vote. And I'm like, crap, they're going to lock me out of the forum and I won't be able to go back and get that vote to finish that up. I was all prepared, to thank Peter for appointing me in the 1 year, and it was great. I mean, there's no perks or anything. You get a free hotel room at the meeting.
That's a perk.
That's it. Yeah. It's a perk, but, that's it. And I would have had that either way this year, not that they're going to kick me out of the room. I had completely convinced myself it wasn't happening. So I was genuinely surprised. But it was nice when he came up to me. Because last year...
So Spencer...
Yeah. Last year, he took me out, he pulled me out of the room.
I'm surprised that you got reelected.
Yeah.
Pat, I had confidence, but you.
Yeah.
But it was nice. I'm just sitting there, and he comes up to me. He's like, congratulations. And so I was sitting with another guy, and he looks at me and goes, Yeah, so that was kind of cool. So DC talked about that stuff, explained Batman Damned, explained the Walmart situation, which I believe mostly.
What was the explanation for Batman Damned?
Batman Damned was he felt the book was too dark and the colors were muddy and he asked them to lighten it up. So they did and they lightened up the tones and he flipped through it. He's like, great, that looks good. Well, he didn't notice that on that one page by lightening it up brought something into much more prominence.
So let me ask a question. He doesn't see the sketches?
He's not the editor on the book. He's not the editor on the book. So he wouldn't see that stuff. He'd see the final product.
Right, but the editor had to go, this dog may
be
a problem.
Why would they? Why would the editor of a mature book on the new mature line?
Yeah. I get that.
Problem?
No, that part I get. But
right,
like I don't think the editor's at fault at all. Like even if the dick was completely like spotlight on it, veiny as hell. Like I still don't think the editor would have had any room to say don't do it because
Even if it's a mature book, they have to have a certain set of standard impression. Like, you can't do X, you can't do Y.
Let me flip to my inserts here.
No. I'm not saying.
What is that green thing right there, Pat?
Josh,
what's going on here?
You can move that.
No, I'm not suggesting that you can't do it in comics.
I think your whole goal in putting
this
it here
one,
is trying to make things move.
I did.
Make what move, though?
It was not. To be honest, putting it in, I couldn't even see that page because I don't open it. I just lift it and shove.
You're too busy. You had to, squinty eyes.
And it basically said then when it came out, the first. And he flipped through it, but he's also not a. I'm going to sit and read every page. He's like, yeah. Okay, this will look great. So the first he knew about it. And he basically said he was embarrassed. It embarrassed him, and that's why they didn't go a second print.
It embarrassed him, he was going to lose his job?
Well, that could be, too. So that's why. And it'll be edited, darkened, in the hardcover when it finally comes out. They did just announce today, I saw, but they told us there that they are going to do hardcovers of Mr. Miracle and White Knight. They said that was a mistake, that they didn't do those hardcover first.
Surprised.
And they'll get back to that. trying to think. He talked about Walmart and explained why he did Walmart. It makes sense, but he also understands the concern. And they're changing that whole program. And by the end of the year, it'll be different. I think what else he talked about.
Was he talking about the whole, like, Facebook lockdown thing?
Yeah, that's going to be open back up because they're going to have a social media person. So that's all going to be...
Yeah, but if you have a form and you get locked out of the form because you talk about something they don't want to hear, that kind of defeats
It's not
purpose.
That. They just shut off all comments. They didn't lock anybody out. They just turned
yeah,
off
but,
commenting.
Right, but isn't that because someone put something in there they didn't
no.
really... Okay.
No. It was because one person got mad because we were so upset about Batman 50. And then,
yeah, that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was just
I'm not
because,
saying
it no,
they
no,
wrote something.
Right, no,
like,
no, it wasn't like one person said something specific. It was just the general tone.
But that's yeah. I think what we're getting at. Because yeah. that was an issue of they didn't have a social media person.
Right.
And now they have these resources. That was an issue of, oh, we don't like what they're saying right now, and we
right.
just don't want to deal with it, so we're not going to take
that,
the voice away.
That's exactly what happened, but I think it was one person. Who's no longer there. Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
So that's less of a problem going forward. One thing they did mention, and he said that it was, I'm happy about, the problem with Batman and the Outsiders, which is resolicited in the new book, and Justice League Odyssey, and the reason that got pushed back is when the issues came in, and he looked at them, he said they weren't good enough. So he sent them back to redo them, but that then pushed everything back.
Just like the art wasn't good enough?
I guess the art, yeah, I'm guessing the art he felt wasn't good enough. So it changed now, from now on, they will have 3 issues in the can before they solicit the book.
Makes sense.
I know Odyssey, they said the story changed.
Right, that may have been. So or maybe he didn't like the story, but something, I don't want to say specifically art, I don't know. But he said
it.
They
Stephen Sidgwick's art wasn't good.
Yeah, but they said it wasn't good enough, so that's why.
Stuff they put out.
Yeah, that was another.
He's paying
thing.
More attention to the art after the whole Bat Dog.
Yeah,
he made a very interesting comment that, like, he mentioned they were cutting 10 to 15% of their line, but that's already happened. It was mostly like the Age of Heroes and stuff. And he said he's concerned that there are too many books out there, and I'm going to say not necessarily his, and not enough A-level talent to. Support those books.
I don't know about that.
Right, but then they went ahead and they got the Powers line or the Wonder line.
No, I get that, but not just so much for them, but I think he was talking about others, like Marvel having in this book is 25 tie-ins for War of Realms, in addition to all the other books. He's like, are there enough artists, good, solid artists to do that? And he's like, I think, you know, as soon as you start getting into questionable stuff. So they're...
I agree with him, but you could also argue the point that's how you give people a platform to try
and
break into the market.
But he said that's why he was disappointed about Age of Heroes, because he did have top-notch artists on each book, and that was their focus on that line. But I think there were lots of other problems.
Yeah, but I think
that
was also done as a dig at Marvel. Oh,
yeah.
Artists don't move the needle? Let's
see. No, I agree. But
it didn't work.
Yeah, wow.
But well, and also all new characters. You know, it was a gamble.
Yeah,
fantastic book.
Silencers. Yeah.
But
the one I was least excited about.
Yeah, but that one's still going. That's the last issue of Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Silencer and Terrifics are still going.
Yeah. So that was that Marvel. You know, half-assed it as usual.
They sent an intern.
No, they sent David Gabriel was there.
So
but
it wasn't as
he,
usual.
Brian Hibbs wanted to ask a question right off the bat, and he shut him down. He said, I'm going to tell you how you're going to make money. And then talked about some stuff coming out in June, and then showed us the 3 movie trailers, and then left without taking questions.
Really?
Yeah. So it was really kind of pointless. You're kind of sitting there going, that's it? Stuff I don't care about. Oh, a new Deadpool book. Oh, I couldn't.
Which trailers did he show you?
Ms. Marvel, Spider-Man, and Avengers. Whatever, Captain Marvel. And the ones we'd seen, there wasn't anything new.
No. Why send him out? Like, why have him come out to do that?
Well, he did a lunch, and some people sat with him at lunch. But for the, I think the 8th time in 9 years, he wasn't there when Mike got to his roundtable. And as somebody pointed out, when I mentioned that, they said, well, maybe I should start taking it personally. Maybe it's just me. And I'm like, good point. Thanks. The only year he was there was New 52 year when they were getting there.
Well, you know what, though? Now that you're part of the board, make sure you're there first.
Yeah. Well, it's around to, you're in groups, so.
Make sure your group goes first.
But no, I'm definitely going to want to do something where we do, you know, if even telephone, I'll go out to New York, you know, whatever, but I would like to meet with them, you know, to, I think they understand the problems, but...
Well, what sense does it make, though, to show you movie trailers?
I agree.
Don't, yeah. You don't get a dollar for their box office
receipts. I agree.
And more importantly, we already know the movies are coming out. People that are coming to the store know that the movies are here.
Yeah. And that they're going to watch them.
Did people clap?
Probably. I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't remember. Probably not in this group. I don't know that they would.
Good, I hope.
Yeah, we're in like the Diamond Summit group, probably would, you know, with Dennis Barger leading the way. But I'm trying to think what else. I don't remember Image specifically, other than talking about they have a new returnability program for a couple books a month where we can order bigger. And I blew it. I didn't order enough Criminal. That was one of the books. I didn't order near enough.
I'm assuming they're on, like, their new number ones.
Yes, yeah. And select number ones. Boom expanded their returnability program, their innovators.
So. Now, they do it, you can do it on all their number ones, right? You have
I
to hit a certain
most,
level.
Yeah, it's, no, you don't even have to hit a level anymore.
Oh, okay.
And it's not just ones, it's like the first four issues, but it's not everything. But they did add a couple graphic novels a month to that, but I'm like, nobody's ordering five just on a whim. You know, it's going to depend. But so Boom was great. Boom is always great. We did give them the industry award for, you know, best supporting the market. A lot of other people talked. But Aftershock is adding returnability. They're working on that too. But the big problem is, you know, Boom is, you know, maybe 5% of my business. You know, it's nice, but it's not enough. It's nice that Image kind of followed their lead, so that was really good. And then just a lot of it was just talking to people. The one thing we definitely worked on was more vendors, mostly for trades and things, because there's some books Diamond does not stock well, specifically the young adult stuff that is really exploding right now. So we brought in some people to for other avenues of getting, like, to order direct through Scholastic for the Scholastic books. The best thing was there was somebody there from BookScan who they tabulate book sales, and we're one part of the market that doesn't tabulate for them, but she asked what we needed, and one of the things we said is, you know, I don't know young adult. I know Marvel, I know DC, I know this stuff, but I don't know what young adult books are hot and what the big thing is there and stuff. She's like, oh, well, if I gave you a top 50 list of young adult books that sell in your area, would that be helpful? And everybody was like, yeah. So I have that in my backpack. So I can order those books in that I'm probably not even aware of.
So okay, and that's fair, but how do you make other people? Because when people see the Batman symbol on the window,
right,
they're thinking
right.
They're coming in here to get superhero
right.
comics.
But a lot of it, I mean, they're bestsellers because of something. The kids are learning about them at school, you know, through their friends, things like that. So then when they come in, like Dogman, you know, you hear through the grapevine, this thing's selling huge, and it sells great. Diamond doesn't stock it all the time. So, and then it was a lot of being able to get it from these other vendors for a better price and a better deal.
But are they going to help you with marketing so that you can bring people in who may not already come to a comic book store?
Right, not specifically. That's not their thing, but I'm sure, you know, we can start expanding that. And it was also a bit of a, oops. It is also, let's see, thanks. I have no idea what I was saying now. Thanks, Jeff.
Would you
had an Adam on that one too.
Did you? But just being able to get more of that market is going to be really good for us. So that's going to be good. I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, I think just the camaraderie, just the talk. We had three people talk, two of which weren't members, which was cool that they came. But Brian Hibbs gave a speech. They all just went up online. Brian Hibbs, Phil Boyle, who has, I think, 8 stores down in Florida. and Joe Field from California.
Not members of Comics Pro?
Joe is. The other two are not. Brian used to be. I don't know if he's coming back or not. I don't know if he is a member.
I think we're allowed to go if you want a member.
No, anybody can go. Really good talks about the problems and solutions and things like that. And it was good that the publishers were in the room listening. So they, you know, heard. And hopefully we'll take some steps. Like, I appreciate DC cutting back their lines, saying there's too many books. So, you know, we'll see. Because there are. It's like, I'd much rather have more, a few big-selling books instead of a lot of little-selling books. And that was one point that both Joe Field and I think Phil Boyle made. It's like, you know, 100 books selling 5 copies isn't good as, you know, isn't as good as 5 selling 100 copies, because you're guessing, and there's a lot more fluctuation on those smaller books. And, you know, if you have one extra copy, you know, you sell 100 and have one extra copy as opposed to selling 5 and having one extra, or, you know, just more titles. And it's just harder to gauge.
It takes up space. I mean, not only on the shelf, but if it doesn't sell, you know, you got boxes everywhere.
I withheld a podcast that I wanted to listen to till the drive. It was because I knew, you know, when I listen to them out here, they get all chopped up because I'm, you know, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here. Right. I can't sit and just listen. But I knew on the drive I'd be able to. And it was the off-panel podcast with Milton Greip, who used to own Capital City Distribution, that went under during the distributor wars, but he's still active in the what?
Distributor wars.
There was.
It makes it sound like there's, you know, combat going on.
Well, it wasn't, but Marvel bought their own distributor, and then DC went exclusive with Diamond.
It made me think of the WCW, WWE, Monday Night Raw.
Think of it, I think of the beginning of, is it The Meaning of Life? The Monty Python movie where all of a sudden the office buildings are fighting one another and they're launching stuff from file cabinets and stuff. That's what I always think of. But it was a real good conversation. I'm not a fan of him only because he's in now with Comixology and I didn't know how this was going to go. But it was a really good, very interesting conversation. But he made one point that I loved, and I thought it was brilliant. And it was one word about what Marvel is doing, and it was the perfect word. And I never would have come up with it on my own. But he said they're messing with our predictability by relaunching number one so often, by having number two ship before we've seen the sales on number one. We can't predict how these books are going to sell anymore. You know that issue 168 is going to sell pretty much the same as 167. And you can guess and you can predict on how to order that. But every time they do, like the new Daredevil, I ordered 5 over what the last Daredevil run did. Well, I've now sold out a 1 and 2 on the day it came out. Why? Why am I selling 5 more of this one than I was? Same character, new writer, new artist, but new number one, and I had to order number two before I saw how number one was. So I was short on number one, and I couldn't get any more number twos. So it's like they're intentionally messing with our predictability. And I'm like, that is such a great word, and that's the whole problem. We can't predict. And sadly for them is when we can't, we tend to aim low. And they like that because they get to announce a second print, and they sound, you know, look like a hero to Disney because, look, we sold out, another book sold out day of release. Well, that's not really a good thing. It'd be much better if I could get more in right away and be able to sell more, and now I have to wait a month for a second print, and will those people still be there? So, but I enjoyed that very much. On a side note, I also listened to a podcast. It's called Conan Needs Friends. It's a Conan O'Brien podcast. He had one with Stephen Colbert that was one of the best things I've ever listened to. Just them both talking about growing up Catholic. I didn't realize Stephen Colbert's dad and two sons died in some sort of accident. And he was talking about dealing with that. And as a kid, you know, the big thing was he got his brother's record player and record collection and all this stuff. And just going deep into, like, the Catholic guilt and all this stuff they felt. And it was a fascinating hour of podcast. If you get a chance, listen to it. It was just, my opinion of both of them rose immeasurably after listening to this. It was fascinating.
That's what it's like for Conan O'Brien wrote the monorail episode of The Simpsons. He'll be my hero for that.
There you go. But, you know, I mean, I've always I went to see him in San Diego. But,
I've never seen that episode.
You've never seen the monorail episode.
I was never a huge Simpsons person. Like, I always liked it enough, but I never watched it religiously.
That's one of the ones I have on my DVR.
Even the new ones? Like now?
No, that episode. That's one of the ones I keep on my DVR. Okay.
But, yeah, if you get a chance to listen to... Just that... It was like Conan decided to get into podcasts, and it's like he realized he had no friends. He has the people he works with, so he invites people on to talk, and you know, will you be my friend? And it's just... It's fun, but, yeah, that one was just... The Dana Carvey one was also fantastic. I've laughed out loud really, really hard.
I've always liked Dana Carvey.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. But so those were good. But I tried to save up some off panels to listen to. Some word balloons I listened to on the way down.
I don't like word balloon that much.
It depends on who he's talking to, but yeah.
I don't like the host that much.
Okay.
He kind of annoys me a little bit.
Fair enough.
Is that why you don't listen to this podcast either?
Yeah, I get it.
It's the panelists I don't like.
But overall, it was really the camaraderie of the people. I didn't do it as much as I used to. I used to make a point of getting to the meal early and just sitting at a table by myself and see who landed at the table, which was kind of neat. You know, so you're not always... Because you see some people always sitting together and talking. It's like...
Collins are by branch himself.
No. I was never by myself. But that led to the one day that when Karen Berger and Brian Hibbs sat down at the table. And it was just like, oh, my God. You know, I was totally blown away. Karen Berger, that was such a... That was awesome.
I see Gail Simone was there.
Yeah, she was there because she's taking over Lion Forge. She's being like creative director for their hero line. Oh, yeah. That was completely unexpected. And I saw her checking in, and I'm like, why is Gail Simone here? And then a friend of mine, Devin, who used to work at Boom, works at Lion Forge. So. But, yeah, just the camaraderie, seeing my friends. Like I said, all the hugs I got from all manner of people, you know, different store owners, publisher reps, you know, things like that, was really awesome. The best was on Saturday night we went and visited a couple stores. One was very funny. It's Rebel Base Toys and Comics. And it's, you know, Rebel Base from Star Wars. They're not allowed to have their name on a sign because you can't use the word rebel.
Huh?
Because of racist overtones.
Well, you know what, though? In that area, I can see how that
I can, but, like, they had moved from somewhere else to this spot, and all of a sudden, they're like, well, we don't want to rebrand, because that's our name, you know, their name of the store isn't actually anywhere. Which is even funnier, because on the outside it says comics, but right above it, it's like, Sports Clips or something like that. It's like, Sports Clips Comics. It's like,
I wonder if they could have just got away with doing, like, RBL base.
Yeah. I don't know. But they didn't, and it was just interesting him telling that. And then we went to...
Well, I think the font is copyrighted as well. So it's if they could have done it in, like, the Star Wars font, it may have made people... Oh, okay, that's what it is. Yeah. But...
No, just because phonetically RBL, it's still...
Yeah.
And then we went to Heroes Aren't Hard to Find, who runs Heroes Con, Shelton Drum, who used to be a member and it lapsed, but he's definitely coming back, he said. Because he learned a lot, you know, it was eye-opening to him. But, you know, he was involved because he's the local store. So those are cool. But then the fun part was after that...
Boom Bus.
No, there was no Boom Bus. There was no Valiant Suite. Boom,
the
really...
Valiant one doesn't surprise me.
No. But, yeah, there hasn't been Boom Bus for a while. So we wanted to go get something to eat, and I was talking with Joe and John... both other board members, not because of that, but we were just saying, let's go get something to eat. And it was just really funny because I'm sitting out in the lobby waiting for him, and then Ralph comes by, and he and Brian were going to go somewhere. I'm like, well, we're going to go to this place. And, okay, well, we'll come with you. And then somebody, Ernie from Friendly Neighborhood Comics up in Boston, is walking by. I'm like, Ernie, what you doing? He's like, yeah, I was thinking about getting something to eat. I'm like, hey, we're all going out to this, but okay, well, great. And then John comes down and he calls over. Well, they closed in half an hour, so okay, we're not going to go there. So we ended up just going to, I texted Joe. I'm like, hey, we're going over to this place. Like, oh, well, we're at Chili's, which is walking distance from the hotel. And after the other place was going to close, I'm like, okay, we'll go to Chili's. So this group of like 10 of us walk over to Chili's. It just, it was a play. It was close. The best part was Joe had earlier on, you know, Siri, give me, you know, good places to eat nearby. And the number one hit was this Gentleman's Club. So that was funny. We did not go there.
Good buffet.
That's basically what they, that's what the review was. But so we go to Chili's and there's 10 of us and we kind of push some tables together and we're sitting there, and then somebody else comes in. It's like, hey, you know, and everybody shifts over a little bit, and then somebody, another publisher, a guy from Valiant.
Bunch of rowdy comic book shop
owners. Well, no, but a guy from Valiant comes in. It's like, hey, you know, and a guy from Titan, he goes to sit down by himself. We're like, Chris, come on. And it was just neat that, you know, basically anybody that walked in was welcome to join us. There was no clickiness.
Comics,
you
know, are supposed to be inclusive. Comics.
Right. And it, but it was just really cool. I felt it was really just a neat way to, that just the way it happened, I thought was really kind of cool. Just made me happy and feeling good to be a part of that group. So I liked that a lot. And then I drove home on Sunday. And that was fun. No, it wasn't. But it was fine. There was no weather. It was just a long drive. And West Virginia is very curvy. And people kept texting me the whole time. And I'm like, I can't look at the phone. It's too curvy.
You know. We were trying to think of your new code name.
Yes. But that's my Comics Pro report. So I'm on the board for the next 3 years. Yay! So hopefully I can we can get some stuff done. Even just, you know, some little positive things, like just even more communication with the, you know, with the publishers and whatever. So I have high hopes for what's going on. So that's my report. I don't know any other news. It was funny. Just, yeah, people, other members who weren't there, you know, like, oh, what's the news? What's going on? And it's like, there's really no news. It's not a news type thing. It's more just a conversation. Yeah, when the biggest news was, and it was funny, even Tim was excited when he saw it, because I guess when he went on to Diamond, it was on the headline or something on the Diamond site. But the, like, the biggest, most exciting thing for us was that Titan Comics will stop reusing their barcodes.
That, yeah, Tim told me about this.
Yeah, and that made the room of retailers so happy.
I didn't know it was an issue.
And yeah, they reuse their barcodes, so when you scan it, you have to pick one of three books that
seems like a no-brainer. Like,
it does, but they kept doing it, and it was one of those, stop doing this, and finally they're like, well, because barcodes cost money. So, but yeah, it's just funny. It's like, that was the most exciting thing for us, you know, and just more of just a, yeah.
Doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much, but it was a pain in the butt.
Were any of your other local establishments represented there?
Todd was there. He was the only other local guy.
Figured he'd be busy with moving.
Yeah, he's not moving. The other people are doing the moving. I think he was on his way to vacation down in Florida. But yeah, he was the only other local person. Can't think. George Stasky, but he's Philly. Yeah, John from Cleveland, but that, I mean, that's his local. But yeah, so it was good. I had a good time. I always do. We'll compare this to the Diamond Summit in May.
That's in Vegas, right?
That's in Vegas. So
Dan has never go?
No, I keep trying to get him to go, but.
And Nerds didn't go?
Nerds did not go. But yeah, so that's my report. That's the Comics Pro 2019 report by Colin McRae.
Well, that's a podcast.
No! You guys read stuff, I'm sure. I can talk about the... If you want me to go first, I'll talk about the one book I read.
What was your question?
Oh! Forgot about that. Well, we did have one question from while I was there, and I'm assuming it was a podcast question. It was from Sunday. While I was driving. Where do you think comics will be in 5 years? I honestly don't think I don't think there'll be any difference. People have been talking about the death of the market for years.
5 years is too short of a...
Yeah, I don't see anything really being dramatically different.
15 to 20 years, maybe.
Maybe.
But
I mean, you know, when you see records coming back, I don't see... Comics haven't gone away, and I don't see them going away.
Paper's still cheap.
Paper's cheap, and people still like something tangible. They like to hold a book in their hand. And you also have the collectible aspect of it. Even though, you know, maybe the current books aren't as collectible, people are still going to want the older stuff. And then you'll get a second wave where people will want 90s stuff and things like that. So, I had to send back Damages, and I think those are probably the ones I kept to actually read. I didn't know Valiant did that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Everybody liked him. Except for Josh.
And Beer and Beer Mom were the only two people.
Him and who?
Beer Mom.
F you, Spencer. Don't even compare my thoughts to Bill Maher's. Bill Maher's a effing asshole.
But, I mean, it's going to have the usual. You know, we'll have new creators. Like, Donny Cates wasn't much not that long ago, and then he caught fire. And we'll have new people come and go. But, I mean, even, like, now, we're... you know, you're looking at, they just announced a new Fraction book. So he's back, and Kelly really? Sue's back.
For what, like,
I think he's doing, I know, it's, isn't it a Jimmy Olsen book?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's a Jimmy Olsen book.
But
with
they're doing a DC book?
Yeah.
Wow.
With,
so Jimmy Olsen's going to be a hipster now?
Well, it's Jimmy, and Steve Lieber is drawing it. So, oh, I know Steve.
Pittsburgh guy.
Now living in Portland, so he's been to every Portland meeting, but I also ran in. He was one of the judges that didn't vote for me at San Diego. So when I was there, I let him know. I'm like, and I told him that in Portland. I'm like, thanks for not voting for me.
Wow.
But, yeah, I really don't see, I think, you know, who knows pricing and stuff like that, but they're still going to be around. I don't think they're going anywhere. And if they go somewhere, well, I have plenty of old ones to sell.
There you go.
So, me... asks. Well, I gotta wait for Josh. God.
You don't have to wait for Josh.
Okay, does Snyder's Court of Owls story rank among the best Batman stories ever?
How big is this list?
I'll say it's a very good story. It was a really neat idea. He just always kind of doesn't nail the landings. And I don't remember how that one ended.
His Black Lincoln Mirror March. Story is better.
Yeah, I did like Black Mirror.
Lincoln March showed up.
Okay. But yeah, since I can't remember how it ended, I thought the idea behind it was really,
Court of
really good.
Court of Owls is fantastic. I think Black Mirror sits, though, higher as a just top Batman story.
Okay, number two. Why aren't Bendis's Superman books selling better? Well, A, it's Superman. Superman's a hard sell. There's nothing quirky about the character. Batman has his cool stuff. He's always planning. Spider-Man has his personal issues, things like that. Superman's just kind of there. And that's not saying they can't do a good story. I thought Tomasi and Gleason was some of the best stuff I've read. Not just Superman. I thought that was a great story. I loved that. I think people also are not a big fan of Bendis. I think a lot of his shine has gone off.
His Action Comics has been really, really good.
Yeah.
Superman has been all right. It's been good. Not as good as Action Comics. Superman has been more up and down. But I think I've been pleasantly surprised by Bendis in the books.
I just think just overall he's just not quite the draw that they thought he was going to be.
What's the kid book that he just did?
Naomi?
No.
Young Justice?
Yeah, Young Justice. Didn't you say you liked it?
I liked it. It didn't make any sense. Continuity-wise, but I liked it. It was fun. It was enjoyable. It's worth reading, worth buying.
What was the last event series that you enjoyed immensely?
Immensely?
Well, I mean, event, like, I'm very much enjoying Doomsday Clock. I don't know if that's an event.
Well, and
how can one enjoy something immensely when they only get to taste it once every 4 months?
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I like the tastes.
Well, I wouldn't go that far either because it's not done yet, and it may not stick the landing.
Right.
I don't consider that an event series.
No, I get you. I get you.
I thought Forever Evil was pretty good.
Convergence? No, kidding. I was thinking Forever Evil too.
I liked Spider-Verse was really good.
I like the first one. I didn't read the
second
one.
Scuba Steve.
Yeah.
Scuba Steve.
I haven't read the Spider-Geddon yet. But
I actually liked The Witching Hour.
Okay.
Quite a bit. I thought Trial on Earth was good.
No, that was Joan Rose, I was a little... wasn't my favorite.
But I thought The Witching Hours was really good.
Mm. Okay. Spencer, this one's for you.
Okay.
What was for dinner last night?
A bowl of microwaved spaghetti, like leftover spaghetti. Just heated it up for a couple minutes.
It's kind of sad.
You wasted that question on him.
I'm sorry. Well, we can all answer it. It's for all of us.
What did you have?
I had a burger at Buffalo Wild Wings with pulled pork and an onion ring on it. It was very, very good. And barbecue sauce, and it was really messy, but I enjoyed it.
And leftover steak.
Leftover from where?
From home, I made it.
Okay.
Okay.
And you had Girl Scout cookies.
We had, I forget what they're actually called. Sesame, like cabbage and beef tacos. They were delicious. It's like sesame and sriracha. And...
Which writer or artist is due for a comeback?
Frank Miller.
He's coming.
I would like it to be Joe Hill, because I don't think he's written much in the comics world.
Yeah. He did that at The Cape, but yeah.
That was a while ago, though.
No, he had a new one.
Oh, really? Okay. Who do you think, Spencer?
Oh, no, it's been... I can't think of anybody who hasn't been doing anything in a while.
Has David Aja done anything lately?
Yeah, he did...
But didn't he have some, like...
Did he do Cover? I think he did Cover by Bendis.
Okay.
I think. Maybe not, now that I think about it. I don't know. But yeah, that's a good one. I'd say, like, a writer, a Fraction, you know, is due back after they went away to Hollywood for a little bit.
Team him back up with Aja, and mm-hmm. didn't have him do the Hawkeye book again.
And then artist, I'd say John Byrne is due for something.
Okay.
And that is the end of the questions. So, I'll talk about my one book.
Talk about your one book.
I did. I read Wolverine and the Infinity Watch.
Oh, yeah.
When I think of Infinity, I think of Wolverine.
Yeah. So,
how that treat you?
Yeah. Yeah, not good.
He's supposed to live forever.
So, apparently he came back.
He died.
Return of Wolverine just finished up.
His heart in his hand.
He's supposed to, though, isn't he?
And I did not hear good things about the end of that book. And it basically starts off with him showing up at the X-Mansion because he's back, and that's the place where he knows he's always welcome. And Jean Grey opens the door, and they start, I think they were kissing or something. Yeah, and then he realizes that it's not her, and he stabs her. And it turns out it's Loki, and it was all an illusion, and the X-Mansion was actually, you know, a crater, and there was nothing there. And then Loki proceeds to... recap Infinity War to him, and then Phoenix Wolverine showed up, which was weird, and then it turns out that at the end of Infinity War, as part of the recap, Warlock turned the Infinity Gem, Infinity Stones, whatever they are, into people, and the people are now hidden all over the universe.
Okay, time out. Do you mean Infinity War the movie?
No, Infinity War the book, the miniseries that happened.
Okay. It's Marvel, I gotta ask that
right,
question.
Right, no, the miniseries that was related in name only. And
Infinity
so now...
Gems, right?
What?
They had Infinity Gems, right?
It's stones.
Whatever.
But the stones were turned into people. And now, so they have the essence inside of them. So it was like a small time...
My stones are turned into people.
It was a small time crook who had the time gem... No, and now don't. Wolverine has to protect him because people are looking for him, trying to get it, because he's now an Infinity Stone. I'm like, that was really dumb. So, being that I had never read Infinity War, it made no sense. If I had read an Infinity War, I think I might have been...
No?
I might have... No, that was damage replacements. If I had read it, it might... I might have been bored with it because it was just recap, so I was not a fan of that book. So, that was the only book I read. Yay. I chose poorly on that one. I should have read Batman.
If you can only read one book this week,
yeah,
pick something else.
Yeah.
Well, at least now you know you've done your customers a favor by...
Yeah, and I also noticed it didn't sell that great either, so...
I don't think you should have chose Batman. I'm not loving this whole... the price.
No.
No.
Crossover. One, I thought the stuff with Gotham Girl was handled well before with the whole, like... You know, I mean, that arc was garbage because he went to... That was the one where he went to Bane's stronghold and yeah. Was like, I'm going to break your brand, whatever. But the whole, like, where he's getting he's getting Psycho Pirate to kind of help Gotham Girl. Like, I thought that it wrapped up fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, the stuff with Gotham Girl now, I just don't kind of... I don't find it that really engaging.
Well, that's a... Flash keeps going back to... Where'd she get the mask from? It's Psycho Pirate's mask. That's where she got it from.
Is that his mask?
That's what it looks like to me.
That's been the mask from Heroes in Crisis.
Yeah, right, but it looks like Psycho Pirate's mask. So, that's kind of what I figured.
No, it's just... I don't hate it. I just don't think it's been that... I don't think it's had quite the impact that they were hoping that this crossover would have.
Have you liked it better than the weird, like, one-shot issues that was going on before?
Oh, the Nightmares stuff?
Yeah.
About the same, I guess. Yeah. I think.
Yeah,
I haven't been loving, Batman for a little bit now. Again, it's fine. I enjoyed it. It's still good.
Feels like they're waiting for 1,000 to kind of move forward. And the problem
you're talking about Detective.
No, both books. Both books feel that way to me. Like they're waiting to tell a story.
I've been enjoying Detective because I feel like Detective at least is kind of like doing something, whereas Batman just feels like. Batman, it feels like it's just treading water until it gets to the point where it then kicks back into this, you know,
right
end game for his run.
But I think it's almost their...
What? Adam?
Batman is kind of treading water to give the...
That's if you'd be Bruce Wayne.
To give Detective space.
No, whoa! Sorry, Joey Lawrence wants to be...
That's not Joey Lawrence.
No, Joey Lawrence wants to be
Batman.
Oh,
yeah, I bet you're saying that was Joey Lawrence. Like, that's John Hamm.
I know who that is.
Everyone loves John Hamm.
Yeah.
So, that would have been a poor choice for you, too. Batman.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't good. No. Wasn't great.
We'll see. Well, I think the last issue of that ties in with the issue of Heroes in Crisis today.
It's supposed to, yeah.
We'll see. I'm kind of waiting for I'm looking forward to that thing wrapping up.
Yeah, I mean,
it just hasn't been going anywhere. Like it has potential.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's just not great.
Two issues left.
It had potential, and then it did something that maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone believes is going to be. A lasting impact.
No.
And then the story's just been meandering, so we'll see. The art's been fantastic. Well, I'll give it that. The art has been very, very nice. And there's been some nice, like, character moments, just the overall plot has not been...
Well, great. I also feel, and this has kind of been a problem since Rebirth started. When Rebirth first started, they brought Wally back, they teased the Watchmen, they, you know, Saturn Girl and things like that. The Watchmen book has been delayed, and I think that has kind of delayed what they wanted to do with the universe to the point where now they're losing their audience.
Kind of like Secret Wars, where how like that kind of got delayed.
Well, so
like,
the person that was the driving force behind that universe is no longer in that.
Well,
the company. So,
and I get that's also probably true, but you set up some things that really should be paid off. And they really haven't.
Which I would have thought him no longer being, an executive would have made his book come out a bit quicker.
Yeah, he's no longer an executive, but that doesn't mean he's not doing other things.
I get that, but still, I it seemed like a lot of stuff got taken off of his plate to where his books would come out like more than once every, you know, 3 months, 3 or 4 months.
Well, but he's not the artist. I don't know that it's him holding that up.
Yeah, it's Gary Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as good as the book looks, I'm not going to complain. I would prefer it came out a little more, because it's been going on for what, a year and a half now? Going on 2 years?
He's asking you.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Doomsday Clock.
Sorry, you're not entertaining it for you between your phone.
No, it came out right before the crash, so that was November.
We listened to your Chili story.
November 2017.
Yeah.
They're expecting it to end in August.
What year? I could say August.
That was a good question, but this year. I have a feeling that whatever plans they have are supposed to start in September. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to expedite them books out. We'll get 8 artists on it. Just push it out.
Well, there's what? This is 9, so there's 3 more.
4 more. Didn't they say it was going to be 13?
I thought it was 12.
Never mind. It was Heroes in Crisis that they added a book to.
Yeah, okay. So 3 more. So hopefully they can over, you know, March, April, May, June, July, August. It's not... Apparently this one was, like, super hyper-detailed that he really wanted to focus on. So, we'll see.
The next one, it's all long shots.
Yeah.
No backgrounds.
Yeah.
A blue stick figure. Yeah, it's Dr. Manhattan.
No feet. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure we're not going to see another appearance of Dr. Manhattan Schlong.
No.
DC's just not going to allow that.
DC dick censored.
Fair enough.
From 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Wonder Twins.
Oh, I loved Wonder Twins.
Wonder Twins was really good.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic.
I liked how there was definite callbacks to the old cartoon with the computer.
Yep. My favorite was Superman explaining them to Wonder Woman. It's like, well, they're shape changers. Oh, great, we could use that. Yeah. Well, except she can only change to an animal, and he can only change to form of water. And she goes, I forget what she said, but it was perfect.
Like, that's lame or something.
Yeah, no,
like
but it was even better than that. It was like, call me disappointed or something. It was great. But I love the stories. Batman's embarrassing story and Superman's.
Yeah.
And then Mark Russell said those actually happened to him.
Oh,
both
really?
Of those, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, both those happened to him, so that was funny. But I loved that high school is the buffet of light or
buffet of disappointment.
And everybody gets a plate. I thought that was fantastic.
No, I like that. I like that a lot.
I thought that was great.
Art was good.
Oh, one
good.
Thing I did ask him about that, and he says he had lunch with Bendis and Russell in Portland last week. Everything is fine. He loves Mark as a person. It says they gave him back Second Coming, so they're not doing. He's not doing it there. He said he just could not publish that book right now, but there was no animosity. Everything's cool between them, so he's not off after Wonder Twins or anything.
Yeah, but
and supposedly he had a Green Lantern.
He's not
pitch.
Okay. I was gonna say he's not off, but what are they gonna have him do next?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I did see something about he had a Green Lantern pitch.
I could see him doing like a cool like core book.
That'd be nice to get a good Green Lantern book going.
That would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not loving the current one?
I don't love it, no.
I haven't read the new one yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're addressing that Hal killed someone, but the fact that he killed someone in the first place. Just straight up brutally, I surrender, well, I'm going to kill you. But
can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
Yeah, just a
stretch
move for one character, but whatever.
If it was Guy Gardner, he'd do it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. If it was Guy Gardner, I would be like, okay, I could see him snapping just doing it.
Or even Stewart with him having like the military background, half the intelligence.
Yeah, I couldn't see Stewart doing it.
What?
Well, maybe not in that situation, but
yeah,
as if he had to kill somebody.
But not like if he had to. And I think any of them, if they had to, they would. It was the whole like, he was defenseless and had surrendered at that point, and he just...
Yeah, it's not like Superman breaking Zod's neck or anything. I had no problem with that. Like, he should kill more people. I mean, yeah.
But no, Wonder Twins was good.
I am looking forward to Gleek making an appearance, though.
Yeah, he was not in that one.
I read a new book last week called High Level. One of the new Vertigo books.
Good, yeah.
Tim was saying that that was pretty good.
It was really good, actually. It started off, like, kind of weird. It started off in, like, this fantasy kingdom, almost, and then it was just the first page. And then you get to, like, this futuristic, like, wasteland kind of setting. And it almost had, like, a Judge Dredd vibe to it. Not quite as much of a wasteland as Judge Dredd. People were definitely, you know, living out outside city walls and whatnot, and there was communities, but it just had that same, like, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of feel to it. And the main character is this like scavenger, but she also has, like, some cool stuff going on with tech. Like, at one point, like, she's controlling this robot, look like with maybe some built-in tech or, you know, whatever. But it's just, you know, a neat character in terms of, you're just not sure what her background is or how she ties into, like, the little prequel of the story. But so she's the scavenger, and she's in, like, this neutral territory, and there's this war going on up north, and they keep mentioning this city in the northern regions called High Level, and there's different ideas about what goes on in the city. Some people think it's almost like this utopia, and people go there and eventually, you know, transcend, but they don't actually know exactly what transcendence means. And then other people think that, you know, people go up there and almost are selling themselves into slavery in hopes of eventually being offered transcendence, but no one that transcends is ever seen from again. So, again, they don't know what exactly, you know, transcending means. And she has a friend who is tired of trying to, like, scrounge for everything he has in the south, and is going to go to High Level, thinking that he's going to, you know, have a good up there and make his way towards transcending. And at the same time, she's being offered a job that's up north, and she's, you know, turning it down because she doesn't want to be involved with, you know, the war that's going on up there right now, and having to, you know, be at higher risk than her current, you know, job she's been doing. But she ends up getting sucked into a job anyways, going to High Level, and she's to escort this young girl who these military guys were looking for earlier in the book. And there's something with this girl where she could possibly, you know, end the war that's going on. But it's just, it was just a fun story. It was a fun story. The art was gorgeous. I picked it up because it was what's the name?
Matina cover.
Was it Gabriel? Was it, the guy that did Omega Men, the art.
Oh, Gabe, yeah.
Oh. Barnaby Bagenda.
Yeah.
Tim pointed out, like, the art was nice in the book, and I looked at it, I was like, oh, it was the guy from Omega Men, and just based on that, I picked it up, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Another new book I read last week was Incursion from Valiant. So, I think this is just a mini-series, right, Colin?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a 4-issue mini-series focusing on the Eternal Warrior and the Geomancer, the current Geomancer, Tama. So I like this book because this feels like the first time since, like, the Valiant, really, where the Eternal Warrior, like, Glod, is...
doing his job?
Is kind of doing his job, like... where he's actually, like, very actively, you know, trying to protect and, you know, be a, you know, mentor almost to this Geomancer, whereas ever since, like, Tama came on the scene, it seemed like she was kind of, like, doing her own thing, and he was doing his own thing, and only whenever he, I think the Book of Death, whenever he actually, when he got killed, he was kind of, like, doing his protector thing there.
Okay.
For a bit, but it seemed like for the most part over the past few years he's been you know off elsewhere, and she's been flying solo. So this is he's her protector, and there's this other being that's out on this other planet, and it looks like she has been going from planet to planet and almost, you know, taking over, and eventually harvesting all the life force or energy from these planets, then moving on to the next planet, almost, you know, like a Galactus-esque character. And she has, like, this herald that kind of goes to the planets before she arrives there that then, you know, brings forth her army, and she comes on and then takes over. But it seems like there's, like, this long, you know, process in terms of her, you know, harvesting it. But she's also looking for, it appears, the Geomancer. And when they find out the Geomancer is on Earth, then they make their way to Earth. But it was a fun setup to this miniseries. I was kind of surprised at how quickly they just kind of like got into it with Galad, because he's been gone for so long and we haven't really seen a whole lot of him. Like, we saw him in Ninjak or Ninja K.
Yeah.
A little bit. This just kind of like picks up like, you know, nothing ever happened. I mean, they reference that he was dead and was gone, but there was really no like easing into it. He was there doing his job, but it was good. I wasn't loving the art at first in the book, but I think it got better, you know, after a few pages. And is there any other ones that I want to mention, Spencer?
No, no.
The only other one I'll mention just briefly is East of West. This book comes out very rarely, mm-hmm. and I think it's wrapping up.
I think I was flipping through, and in this preview, it's like the beginning of the final story arc. Which I saw that, I was like, that made me happy, because I've been wanting to get into it, but I didn't want to start it and then get caught up and then have to wait.
I forget how much I like this book, and then an issue comes out after a few months. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I really do enjoy this book. The art's great. Hickman writing. It's not like too confusing like some Hickman stuff is. It's it's happy. It's good.
Good beat. You can dance to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alright, Spencer.
The third issue of Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Peter and his old lady neighbor who turns out to be this superpowered, like, strong brain, take this huge elevator.
Spoilers!
Down to, like, not the center of the Earth, but they go down pretty far, and there's, like, a New York, like, underground. And, that's where the mom and the two daughters... The mom got kidnapped, and now Peter's watching the two orange kids who are from there, and it turns out, like, they're,
from issue one. Okay, yeah, now I'm remembering.
Her, like, father, I think, is, like, the head guy down there and stuff, so, they're able to, get the mom back, but, Spider-Man takes, like, not a shot in the gut, but, like, he gets, like, grazed. But they're able to make it back into the, elevator, but they get, like, stopped, like, halfway or something, so he, has to crawl up, like, I think, like, 300 feet. Like, it's a pretty long distance with both of them on, like, you know, okay, both of them climbing up the wall, bleeding out of his side, and he gets them up there, but, like, as soon as he gets them up there, he immediately passes out and collapses on the floor, and that's kind of like where they kind of ended, with him just collapsing. But I've been really enjoying this series. I saw, like, in the new preview, he's gonna have, like, some little, like, kid Spidey, like, sidekick. So I don't know if it's gonna be like one of those little kids that, you know, that he's supposed to be watching over. But then I'll go with Spider-Man, the Miles Morales Spider-Man. This third issue wraps up the first little mini story arc with him and him teaming up with Rhino and Captain America showing up at the end of the last issue, and they fill Cap in about, you know, the kids, like, somebody stealing these kids and powering them up and stuff like that, and so Captain America has this app on his phone that that Tony Stark put on there where he'd be able to, like, you know, you can scan, like, energy signatures and things like that. But, of course, with Captain America being old, he can't figure out how to use the app on his phone. So Spider-Man has to do it for him. And,
Bad Cap.
Yeah. And so they find they're able to use that to track to where the hideout is, to get the last remaining of the kids that are underneath. And it turns out there's this guy who's able to, like, mind control people. So he has Spider-Man and Rhino under control, but whenever he tries to get Cap, it takes too much of his effort, so he's able to, Rhino and Spider-Man are able to, like, get free because it's taken all the guy's concentration just to get Cap to under control. And that's whenever Miles is able to, like, give him a huge, like, Venom blast and knock him out, and they're able to save everybody. And the Rhino saves his niece, and Miles is his friend, her little brother, and they it ends, you know, they get to go. Miles is going to a movie with a friend and her little brother to try to get him back to normal life after everything going on. But nice little wrap up to the first story arc. Uncanny X-Men, I think 12,
and then Angry Cyclops and Wolverine on the cover.
Yeah. It's just kind of since that first 10 issues, it's kind of almost been like a buddy comedy, like team up almost, like, but you know, buddies that don't necessarily like each other.
They don't like each other, yeah.
But it opens up with Wolverine moving a bullet from, like, Cyclops' like shoulder and stuff, and is like, Cyclops is like, Wolverine's like, quit squirming, and Cyclops is like, I'm squirming because it hurts, you know. And Johnny's like, well, it hurts because you're squirming, like, but they find out that, I forget how, but they find out that, like, some mutants are being held in, like, this government facility, so they go in to break them out, and these Sentinels are attacking them, but it turns out that the Sentinels are actually, like, have mutants, like, inside of them running them, and one of the ones is Strong Man, and they have, like, this word, I forget if it's like a technovirus or if it's a, what was, like, that Warlock, that alien that mm-hmm. was, like, in the new event, yep. new X-Men. Yeah. It's so kind of, like, fused with all of them, but they all kind of got, like, that weird, like, patchwork, like line.
Oh, the phalanx coming in, or whatever that story was.
Like, so, but Strong Man ends up dying in this
again?
Issue. Yeah. But they're able to rescue everybody else, and they introduce this new, like, military general who looks probably to be, like, you know, going to be one of the bad guys that they're probably going to be going up with this in this first storyline. And then the last one I'll talk about is the Legion of Doom Justice League,
okay.
The new Legion of Doom Justice League issue. I didn't really like this one. This is probably my least favorite out of, like, the villain arc. The story was kind of okay, but the art just ruined it for me.
See, I didn't mind the art.
I mean, I guess technically for...
It was a super slow issue.
I guess for, like, what they were kind of going for, like, you know, battling other minds inside of, like, each other's head, but I haven't liked that kind of artist.
I felt the issue was boring.
Yeah.
So.
But that's it.
That's it?
That's what I got.
We're all done?
We're done. But what's coming out next week, Colin?
Next week we got books!
Stuff and things.
Hang on, sorry. It's not on the right page. I apologize. Oh, jeez. Okay. So we have Age of X-Men Prisoner X, number one. We have Amazing Spider-Man 16-point Who? The big event is Hunted, where Kraven the Hunter is hunting Spider-Man. So they're doing these HU insert. Like 16 came out today, and 16 HU is next week. And they're doing this for like, it's like 16, 18, 19, and 20. Like, some issues aren't getting it. It's, yeah. We have Astro Hustle number one. This is Dark Horse. This is Jay Nitz, whose claim to fame is he created Diablo, who was in the Suicide Squad. He's also a retailer. He was at the summit. He's got a store in Kansas City, I believe. Avengers 16 is a War of the Realms tie-in. Avengers No Road Home 4. Batman 66, we're back on track with the Nightmare storyline. Black Hammer 45, from the world of Black Hammer, number one. Blossom 666, number two. That was for Dave, but he's not here. Conan the Barbarian, number four. Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys Marvel history.
What?
I know, cray cray. Domino
sure
Hot.
You don't want to come back from Marvel?
Domino Hot Shots. The series ended, but now they're doing a 5-issue miniseries by Gail Simone. Doomsday Clock number 9 is next week. Booyah! Female Furies number 2. I really enjoyed number 1 a whole lot. Green Arrow number 50. This one is ending, and it looks like it's tying into Heroes in Crisis, but also the events of Justice League No Justice. So where he has those boxes that can. So, could be interesting. Green Lantern number 5 is also next weekend. Meet the Skrulls number 1. I know that Spencer is very excited about this one.
I am?
Yes. Okay. Morning in America. This is one from Oni. I'm not sure exactly what it's about. Sorry. Obey Me number 0. That's why we're doing the TV show Friday, so that's why I don't know the stuff. I haven't reviewed the March previews book. Red Sonja number 2 is, that's the Mark Russell. That should be good. That was really good. Ronin Island number 1, I believe that's a Boom book. $6 Million Man number 1, because we can't get enough of that. Star Wars Age of Republic Padme Amidala. Star Wars Vader Dark Visions number 1, little 5-issue mini. Young Justice number 3, and the book that I know Spencer is getting. He's probably getting it at that other store, though, so I'm going to have an unsold copy on the shelf. Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal.
I might have to pick up 2 copies.
Okay, well, good. I have 2 different variants.
You can
coming.
Have mine.
Yeah. that's what's coming. So, book club, we're doing, I believe it's the 28th or 29th, sorry, whatever the Friday is. We're going to do Paper Girls, which is an Image book. I wasn't here for the last one, so I kind of panicked and just picked one that I knew was good. It's also just a little $9.99 book. But if you mention it's for book club, you get 25% off. I will have them in on Thursday. I have a whole bunch coming. Let's see. That's about all that we have for events. I don't really know of anything else going on yet in March. No, I haven't figured out what I'm doing for March yet, so I'll come up with something.
It's not March 1st.
It's not. I have till Friday, man. Back off. Gosh. And so that's all I got. Facebook is website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. I will be ramping those up. I say that every time.
So you should have been posting and things from your conference.
No, there was nothing to share. Really, I don't want to share any like
things you were eating and stuff.
No, that's silly. But I think that's about it, Pat.
That's podcast.
We will talk at you next week. We'll see ya.